piracy is making a major comeback. No, not that kind. Video piracy. Remember when streaming was supposed to be the hero that killed piracy? Yeah, that didn't happen. And the reasons why are obvious. Subscription prices are skyrocketing, shows are getting pulled from libraries, and exclusive content is being scattered across a dozen different services. Instead of making our lives easier, streaming has morphed into cable 2.0. Expensive, fragmented, and frustrating. Want to watch Severance? You'll need Apple TV. Rewatch The Office? Well, it used to be on Netflix, but now you'll need Peacock. Sports? One game is on DAZN, another on Fubo. How are you even supposed to keep track of where everything is? These days, finding that one specific movie you want to watch feels like a chore. You're going to need Google, maybe even a VPN, and while you're at it, may as well pull out your credit card because it's probably on a streaming service that you don't have. Somehow, we've never had more entertainment available, yet we're constantly struggling to find and afford the stuff we actually want to watch. Piracy has once again become the most convenient option, but it doesn't have to be. Look at music. They eventually figured it out. Imagine how stupid it would be if you could only listen to Kendrick Lamar on Spotify while Drake was exclusive to Apple Music. Actually, given their beef, they might like that, so never mind. In the early 2000s, music piracy, fueled by sites like Napster and LimeWire, had the music industry in full-blown panic. Piracy wasn't just winning because it was free, it was winning because it offered a superior service. Why would anyone bother going out to a store to buy a $10 CD just to hear that one song they liked? Napster and LimeWire gave you exactly what you wanted. The music industry slowly came to terms with this being the future of music consumption, and in 2003, Apple launched the iTunes Music Store, selling digital downloads for 99 cents a song. For music lovers who weren't already pirating music, iTunes was incredible. It made music more accessible, arguably more affordable, and completely reshaped how we discover new artists. But for the pirates, it didn't offer anything they didn't already have. The game changer didn't arrive until 2008, when Spotify gave music pirates a real reason to quit. Suddenly, the iTunes model was obsolete. We stopped buying music altogether and started paying a monthly fee for all you can stream access. The price was right, and the convenience was too. It became clear that if you wanted to actually stop piracy, you simply had to provide a better alternative.
I would have thought that was obvious.
At the same time as the music industry was seeing this massive transformation, the internet was making video piracy a lot more accessible. Regulators' efforts to combat video piracy weren't working. They mostly relied on vague threats and public service announcements like this one. The only success that came from this PSA was an unintentional meme about downloading a car, which, let's be honest, we all would if we could.
You downloaded this vehicle?
Yes.
Well, that's stealing.
How's it stealing? I made an exact copy. I didn't steal anything from anyone.
You took potential profits from Toyota.
I wasn't going to buy a Hilux either way. They've lost no money. This hurts no one.
That's actually quite a good argument for online piracy.
I pirated this vehicle.
When Netflix had begun pivoting from mailing out DVD rentals into becoming an internet streaming company, this was a real solution, combating piracy with convenience, much like Spotify did for music. Why bother dealing with shady torrent sites, pop-up ads for who knows what, and low-quality bootlegs when you could pay a few bucks a month for unlimited, high-quality content? Of course, piracy didn't disappear entirely, but illegally downloading content that was readily available on Netflix seemed kind of pointless. This was the streaming golden age. Netflix was on its way to becoming a central place for all your favorite movies and TV shows. That is, until competition arrived. Suddenly, your favorite movies and shows weren't all in one place anymore. Disney Plus, Hulu, Peacock, and a slew of others entered the arena, all vying for your attention and your dollars. Unlike Spotify and Apple Music, which offer virtually the same music libraries, video streaming took a completely different turn. Content on one platform cannot coexist somewhere else. We were apparently all naive to assume that it could. These streaming services have now made it clear that nothing is permanent. Warner Brothers Discovery pulled Westworld and a bunch of other HBO shows from HBO Max to avoid paying residuals. Disney Plus has been caught removing original films and series without warning. and Netflix is notorious for constantly rotating its library, making it impossible to rely on the service for long-term access to anything. Even digital purchases aren't safe anymore. Amazon has been caught deleting or restricting access to movies that customers had actually bought. So let me get this straight. You pay for a streaming service, you get emotionally invested in a show, and then one day it vanishes without a trace? And the only surefire way to watch it whenever you want is to download it illegally? Yeah, that'll definitely kill piracy. While the streaming wars began as a battle royale for content supremacy, licensing disputes and complex streaming contracts have soured the entire industry. Like, why could Disney Plus subscribers in the US watch The Bear, while those in Australia couldn't? These kinds of headaches are a big part of why streaming companies have morphed into becoming their own production studios. Netflix originals like Squid Game should, in theory, be available forever and accessible everywhere. This evolution of streaming companies producing their own content means you're no longer subscribing to the platform with the best catalog of acquisitions. You're essentially investing into a single studio that's hopefully producing something good. Netflix is planning to drop a staggering $18 billion on content in 2025 alone, with the lion's share going to originals, like finally delivering the last season of Stranger Things, even if the years of delays make it hard for the actors to still pass as kids, but whatever.
How do you do, fellow kids?
What?
At some point, Netflix and its rivals will start seeing diminishing returns on their massive spending on original content and on what they can reasonably charge subscribers. If Netflix decided to spend $100 billion on new content, would you be willing to shell out $200 a month for it? Probably not. There's only so much content we can consume, and it's not like every original is a hit. The few must-watch movies and shows remain scattered across too many different platforms. According to Deloitte's Digital Media Trends report, the average US streaming video subscriber pays for 4 services, adding up to a hefty $69 per month. That's insane, and almost certainly unsustainable, considering that over 50% of Gen Z and millennials surveyed had canceled at least one paid streaming service in the last 6 months. Because streaming has become so expensive, we're going to start seeing more people picking a streaming service like they pick a sports team, crossing their fingers that the new releases will be good enough to justify sticking with it.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
Sure, you could drop Netflix after binging Inventing Anna just so you could afford to subscribe to Apple TV for Ted Lasso, but are you really going to go through that hassle every single month? That's incredibly annoying. The reality is, if you can't afford to subscribe to both, your options are to either pirate Ted Lasso or just never watch it. Neither option is a win for the consumer. Unfortunately, it's not just the fractured nature of exclusive content that's the problem. It's that streaming companies now have absolute control over everything. They get to call all the shots, from what gets greenlit and the budget to how it's released. Warner Brothers famously killed Batgirl, even though it was already filmed and they had already sunk $90 million into it. Why? Purely for a tax write-off. I'm sure their fans really love that. And have you noticed how those genuinely hilarious R-rated comedy films that defined the 2000s aren't being made anymore? It's not because people don't want them, it's because streaming companies aren't interested in making them. Whether it's due to the relentless competition or Wall Street's insatiable hunger for growth, Netflix, once the golden child of video streaming, has steadily become less and less consumer-friendly. For years, Netflix practically encouraged password sharing. It was part of their brand identity. Love is sharing a password. They tweeted that in 2017. In a complete reversal, they declared war on account sharing in 2023, forcing users to either pay extra for additional profiles or risk getting locked out. Other streaming platforms quickly followed suit. This wasn't about security or fairness, it was a blatant attempt to squeeze more money out of subscribers. To add insult to injury, Bezos, who has enough money to take joyrides to space, began forcing ads on Prime Video users even though they're already paying for the service. And predictably, many other streaming companies, including Netflix, have jumped on the bandwagon, offering ad-supported tiers that cost about the same as what you were paying already. This kind of blatant corporate greed is exactly what drives people to look for alternatives. And when all streaming services are doing the same thing, the only alternative is piracy.
Well, pirating is stealing. We didn't steal it, okay? We just downloaded it.
No, the website is called moviepirate.com.
And the other one is called freemovies/arrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr
movies.free.
In recent years, Netflix has become increasingly concerned about how easily people can avoid paying for their service. In the competition section of Netflix's 2024 annual review, piracy gets mentioned several times. Back when Netflix first launched, its on-demand streaming experience had a major advantage over most pirate sites. The most common way to pirate something was with torrents, which required at least some technical know-how, and you had to wait for the content to download. Today, most pirate sites offer on-demand streaming with a user experience that's virtually identical to Netflix, but with more content and no subscription fee. Netflix piracy concerns are valid. They are losing billions of dollars, but it's not like the company is anywhere close to collapsing. In fact, despite doing everything in their power to piss off their own customers, like raising prices, introducing ads, and cracking down on password sharing, 2024 was one of their best years. It seems people have a surprising amount of loyalty to Netflix, even if the value proposition isn't always great. Subscriptions are incredibly sticky. Once you sign up for one, you're likely to stay subscribed. If Netflix was actually suffering considerably from piracy, then they would be much more aggressive in trying to shut down these illicit sites, but even then, new ones will inevitably pop up to take their place, so that's not really a long-term solution. If consolidation of streaming services isn't going to happen, then Netflix's only real path forward is to continue making high-quality exclusive content at a price point that makes people happy to pay for it. Judging by their recent growth in membership, it seems to be working for them, at least for now. The same can't be said for some of the other streaming companies. Ideally, we shouldn't be advocating for piracy because content isn't free to produce, so it shouldn't be free to consume either. However, in the current streaming landscape, even with an abundance of high-quality content, having to subscribe to multiple services at once just doesn't make a lot of sense. Piracy isn't going away. In fact, it will only intensify as these companies squeeze harder, driving consumers towards the very alternatives they claim to fight. The truth is simple. People don't pirate because they want to steal. They pirate because they're forced to, by inconvenience, outrageous prices, or content scarcity. And right now, streaming offers us all three. If these companies truly want to stop piracy, then they need to look in the mirror, because they're the ones causing it. So until they choose to fix the broken system that they themselves have created, it's a pirate's life for me.